Chapter 108. Appearance and Disappearance. Arthur, my dear boy, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, on the evening of the following day, Mother and I have been talking this over, and we don't feel comfortable in remaining as we are. That elegant connection of ours, that dear lady who was here yesterday, apostrophe, I understand, apostrophe said Arthur. Even that affable and condescending ornament of society, apostrophe pursued Mr. Meagles, may misrepresent us, we are afraid. We could bear a great deal, Arthur, for her sake, but we think we would rather not bear that, if it was all the same to her. Apostrophe, good, apostrophe said Arthur. Go on. Apostrophe, you see, apostrophe proceeded Mr. Meagles, it might put us wrong with our son-in-law, it might even put us wrong with our daughter, and it might lead to a great deal of domestic trouble. You see, don't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, indeed, apostrophe returned Arthur, there is much reason in what you say. Apostrophe, he had glanced at Mrs. Meagles, who was always on the good and sensible side, and a petition had shone out of her honest face, that he would support Mr. Meagles in his present inclinings. So we are very much disposed, our mother and I, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, to pack up bags and baggage, and go among the Yalomers and Marshomers once more. I mean, we are very much disposed to be off, strike right through France into Italy, and see our pet. Apostrophe, and I don't think, apostrophe replied Arthur, touched by the motherly anticipation in the bright face of Mrs. Meagles, she must have been very like her daughter, once, that you could do better. And if you ask me for my advice, it is that you set off tomorrow. Apostrophe, is it really, though? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. Mother, this is being backed in an idea. Apostrophe, apostrophe, mother, with a look which thanked Clennam in a manner very agreeable to him, answered that it was indeed. The fact is, besides, Arthur, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, the old cloud coming over his face, that my son-in-law is already in debt again, and that I suppose I must clear him again. It may be as well, even on this account, that I should step over there, and look him up in a friendly way. Then again, here's mother foolishly anxious, and yet naturally too, about pet's state of health, and that she should not be left to feel lonesome at the present time. It's undeniably a long way off, Arthur, and a strange place for the poor love under all the circumstances. Let her be as well cared for as any lady in that land, still it is a long way off. Just as home is home, though it's never so homely, why you see, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, adding a new version to the proverb, Rome is Rome, though it's never so homely. Apostrophe, all perfectly true, apostrophe observed Arthur, and all sufficient reasons for going. Apostrophe, I am glad you think so, it decides me. Mother, my dear, you may get ready. We have lost our pleasant interpreter. She spoke three foreign languages beautifully. Arthur, you have heard her many a time, and you must pull me through it, mother, as well as you can. I require a deal of pulling through, Arthur, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, shaking his head, a deal of pulling through. I stick at everything beyond a noun substantive, and I stick at him, if he's at all a tight one. Apostrophe, now I think of it, apostrophe returned Clennam, there's Cavaletto. He shall go with you, if you like. I could not afford to lose him, but you will bring him safe back. Apostrophe, well, I am much obliged to you, my boy, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, turning it over, but I think not. No, I think I'll be pulled through by mother. Cavaluro, I stick at his very name to start with, and it sounds like the chorus to a comic song, is so necessary to you, that I don't like the thought of taking him away. More than that, there's no saying when we may come home again, and it would never do to take him away for an indefinite time. The cottage is not what it was. It only holds two little people less than it ever did, Pet, and her poor unfortunate maid Tatikaram. But it seems empty now. Once out of it, there's no knowing when we may come back to it. No, Arthur, I'll be pulled through by mother. Apostrophe, they would do best by themselves perhaps. After all, Clennam thought, therefore did not press his proposal. If you would come down and stay here for a change, when it wouldn't trouble you, apostrophe Mr. Meagles resumed, I should be glad to think, and so would Mother too. I know that you were brightening up the old place with a bit of life it was used to when it was full, and that the babies on the wall there had a kind eye upon them sometimes. You so belong to the spot, and to them, Arthur, and we should every one of us have been so happy, if it had fallen out, but, let us see how's the weather for traveling now? Apostrophe apostrophe Mr. Meagles broke off, cleared his throat, and got up to look out of the window. They agreed that the weather was of high promise, and Clennam kept the talk in that safe direction until it had become easy again, when he gently diverted it to Henry Gowan, and his quick sense and agreeable qualities, when he was delicately dealt with. He likewise dwelt on the indisputable affection he entertained for his wife. Clennam did not fail of his effect upon good Mr. Meagles, whom these commendations greatly cheered, and who took Mother to witness that the single and cordial desire of his heart in reference to their daughter's husband was harmoniously to exchange friendship for friendship, and confidence for confidence. Within a few hours the cottage furniture began to be wrapped up for preservation in the family absence, or, as Mr. Meagles expressed it, the house began to put its hair in papers, and within a few days Father and Mother were gone, Mrs. Tickett and Dr. Butchin were posted, as of yore, behind the parlor blind, and Arthur's solitary feet were rustling among the dry fallen leaves in the garden walks. As he had a liking for the spot, he seldom let a week pass without paying a visit. Sometimes, he went down alone from Saturday to Monday, sometimes his partner accompanied him, sometimes, he merely strolled for an hour or two about the house and garden, saw that all was right, and returned to London again. At all times, and under all circumstances, Mrs. Tickett, with her dark row of curls, and Dr. Butchin, sat in the parlor window, looking out for the family return. On one of his visits Mrs. Tickett received him with the words, I have something to tell you, Mr. Clennam, that will surprise you. Apostrophe so surprising was the something in question, that it actually brought Mrs. Tickett out of the parlor window, and produced her in the garden walk, when Clennam went in at the gate on its being opened for him. What is it, Mrs. Tickett? Apostrophe apostrophe said he. Sir, apostrophe returned that faithful housekeeper, having taken him into the parlor, and closed the door. If ever I saw the led away and deluded child in my life, I saw her identically in the dusk of yesterday evening. Apostrophe, you don't mean Taddy apostrophe, quorum yes I do. Apostrophe apostrophe quoth Mrs. Tickett, clearing the disclosure at a leap. Where? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Clennam, apostrophe returned Mrs. Tickett, I was a little heavy in my eyes, being that I was waiting longer than customary for my cup of tea which was then preparing by Mary Jane. I was not sleeping, nor what a person would term correctly, dozing. I was more what a person would strictly call watching with my eyes closed. Apostrophe, without entering upon an inquiry into this curious abnormal condition, Clennam said, exactly. Well? Apostrophe, well, sir, apostrophe proceeded Mrs. Tickett, I was thinking of one thing and thinking of another. Just as you yourself might. Just as anybody might. Apostrophe precisely so, apostrophe said Clennam. Well? Apostrophe, and when I do think of one thing, and do think of another, apostrophe pursued Mrs. Tickett, I hardly need to tell you, Mr. Clennam, that I think of the family. Because, dear me, a person's thoughts, apostrophe Mrs. Tickett said this with an argumentative and philosophic air, however they may stray, will go more or less on what is uppermost in their minds. They will do it, sir, and a person can't prevent them. Apostrophe, Arthur subscribed to this discovery with a nod. You find it so yourself, sir, I'll be bold to say, apostrophe said Mrs. Tickett, and we all find it so. It and our stations in life that changes us, Mr. Clennam, Thoughts is free. As I was saying, I was thinking of one thing and thinking of another, and thinking very much of the family. Not of the family in the present times only, but in the past times too. For when a person does begin thinking of one thing and thinking of another in that manner, as it's getting dark, what I say is, that all times seem to be present, and a person must get out of that state, and consider before they can say which is which. Apostrophe, he nodded again, afraid to utter a word, lest it should present any new opening to Mrs. Tickett's conversational powers. In consequence of which, apostrophe said Mrs. Tickett, when I quivered my eyes and saw her actual form and figure looking in at the gate, I let them close again without so much as starting, for that actual form and figure came so pat to the time, when it belonged to the house as much as mine or your own, that I never thought at the moment of its having gone away. But, sir, when I quivered my eyes again, and saw that it wasn't there, then it all flooded upon me with a fright, and I jumped up. Apostrophe, you ran out directly? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Clennam. I ran out, apostrophe, assented Mrs. Tickett, as fast as ever my feet would carry me. And if you'll credit it, Mr. Clennam, there wasn't in the whole shining heavens, no, not so much as a finger of that young woman. Apostrophe, passing over the absence from the firmament of this novel constellation, Arthur inquired of Mrs. Tickett, if she herself went beyond the gate? Went to and fro, and high and low, apostrophe said Mrs. Tickett, and saw no sign of her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he then asked Mrs. Tickett, how long a space of time she supposed there might have been between the two sets of ocular quiverings she had experienced. Mrs. Tickett, though minutely circumstantial in her reply, had no settled opinion between 5 seconds and 10 minutes. She was so plainly at sea on this part of the case, and had so clearly been startled out of slumber, that Clennam was much disposed to regard the appearance as a dream. Without hurting Mrs. Tickett's feelings with that infidel solution of her mystery, he took it away from the cottage with him, and probably would have retained it ever afterwards, if a circumstance had not soon happened to change his opinion. He was passing at nightfall along the Strand, and the lamplighter was going on before him, under whose hand the street lamps, blurred by the foggy air, burst out one after another, like so many blazing sunflowers coming into full blow all at once, when a stoppage on the pavement, caused by a train of coal wagons toiling up from the wharves at the riverside, brought him to a standstill. He had been walking quickly, and going with some current of thought, and the sudden check given to both operations, caused him to look freshly about him, as people under such circumstances usually do. Immediately, he saw in advance a few people intervening, but still so near to him, that he could have touched them, by stretching out his arm to tickle them, and a strange man of a remarkable appearance. A swaggering man, with a high nose, and a black mustache as false in its color as his eyes were false in their expression, who wore his heavy cloak with the air of a foreigner. His dress and general appearance were those of a man on travel, and he seemed to have very recently joined the girl. And bending down, being much taller than she was, listening to whatever she said to him, he looked over his shoulder with the suspicious glance of one who was not unused to be mistrustful, that his footsteps might be dogged. It was then that Clennam saw his face, as his eyes lowered on the people behind him in the aggregate, without particularly resting upon Clennam's face or any other. He had scarcely turned his head about again, and it was still bent down, listening to the girl, when the stoppage ceased, and the obstructed stream of people flowed on. Still bending his head and listening to the girl, he went on at her side, and Clennam followed them, resolved to play this unexpected play out, and see where they went. He had hardly made the determination, though he was not long about it, when he was again as suddenly brought up as he had been by the stoppage. They turned short into the Adelphi, the girl evidently leading, and went straight on, as if they were going to the terrace which overhangs the river. There is always, to this day, a sudden pause in that place to the roar of the great thoroughfare. The many sounds become so deadened that the change is like putting cotton in the ears, or having the head thickly muffled. At that time the contrast was far greater, there being no small steamboats on the river, no landing places, but slippery wooden stairs and foot causeways, no railroad on the opposite bank, no hanging bridge or fish market near at hand, no traffic on the nearest bridge of stone, nothing moving on the stream, but watermen's wherries and coal lighters. Long and broad black tiers of the latter, moored fast in the mud, as if they were never to move again, made the shore funereal and silent after dark, and kept what little water movement there was, far out towards midstream. At any hour later than sunset, and not least at that hour, when most of the people who have anything to eat at home are going home to eat it, and when most of those who have nothing have hardly yet slunk out to beg or steal, it was a deserted place and looked on a deserted scene. Such was the hour, when Clennam stopped at the corner, observing the girl and the strange man as they went down the street. The man's footsteps were so noisy on the echoing stones, that he was unwilling to add the sound of his own. But when they had passed the turning, and were in the darkness of the dark corner leading to the terrace, he made after them with such indifferent appearance of being a casual passenger on his way, as he could assume. When he rounded the dark corner, they were walking along the terrace towards a figure which was coming towards them. If he had seen it by itself, under such conditions of gas lamp, mist, and distance, he might not have known it at first sight, but with the figure of the girl to prompt him, he at once recognized Miss Wade. He stopped at the corner, seeming to look back expectantly up the street, as if he had made an appointment with someone to meet him there, but he kept a careful eye on the three. When they came together, the man took off his hat, and made Miss Wade a bow. The girl appeared to say a few words, as though she presented him, or accounted for his being late, or early, or what not, and then fell a pace or so behind, by herself. Miss Wade and the man then began to walk up and down, the man having the appearance of being extremely courteous and complimentary in manner. Miss Wade having the appearance of being extremely haughty. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.